Welcome to a special edition of Shypedia Podcast. On behalf of Shypedia Podcast, WGN Plus, CineSpace Film Studios, and CineCares Foundation, we present to you, our wonderful audience, a six-part anthology series exploring diverse voices in film and TV. Throughout this series, you will learn why diversity is important behind the scenes of TV and film, and you'll discover the opportunities that are being created right here in Chicago through the CineCares Foundation. You'll also get to hear from some of our industry leaders. CineSpace Chicago Film Studios is located right outside of downtown on the west side of town. Many of our favorite TV shows are filmed there, such as Empire, Chicago PD, Chicago Med, and Chicago Fire. Up until 2 months ago, I had no knowledge of CineSpace existing here in Chicago, which was so close to downtown. And now I'm seeing it pop up on radars everywhere. And soon after the discovery, I was introduced to Sheila Brown, the director of CineCares Foundation. It was one of my favorite PR people, Christy Love, that was in charge of this connection. She thought it would be a great idea to launch this series about CineSpace and CineCares Foundation. Well, it couldn't have come at a better time. We were headed into Black History Month, and then following that will be Women's Month. So now we have three African-American women working together to create diverse voices in film and TV. I'm your host, Marsha Marsha, and Sheila Brown will be our tour guide as we journey off onto the CineSpace campus. First, let's get to know Sheila Brown and learn about the CineCares Foundation. As they say in film, let's run the tape in action.
Historically in TV and film, people of color, women, people from the LGBTQ community are underrepresented. You know, they don't really have a lot of opportunities in front of the camera and behind the camera. Hollywood, people are used to hiring with, hire people that you know, people that you've worked with before, people that you have a connection with. You know, it's a cycle, and more often than not, they look like them.
When we're talking about diversity, it's not a box to check. It is a reality that should be deeply felt and held and valued by all of us.
That was Michael B. Jordan and Ava DuVernay. What do you feel about that, Sheila?
I love both of those clips because they really talk about and address what we're going to address in this six-part anthology series. You know, Michael B. Jordan just did that interview in February. That was during the time when we recorded. So it just shows that many of us are on the same page and on the same vibe. We're ready. We're doing it, and it's important to a lot of people right now.
We want to introduce to our audience our first part of the series.
Yes.
And you know that's you in there, right?
Me? The little African-American girl from the west side of Chicago?
West side?
West side in the house.
Sheila Brown.
Yes.
Grew up on the west side of Chicago.
Yes, I did.
Now she's working on site of the second largest film studio in the world.
Yes.
How did we get to this point?
Oh my God. It's been some years, Marsha, but as you mentioned, I grew up on the west side of Chicago, on Central and Huron, mm-hmm. as a matter of fact. Went to school there, and I didn't think at that time I wanted to necessarily be a producer or in television production and so forth. Actually, as a kid, I thought I wanted to be a photographer.
A photographer.
A photographer that used to run around blinding everybody. It is.
Yeah.
It is. Photographers and cinematographers mm-hmm. and so forth. A lot of the same scene. But yeah, grew up on the west side and was going to school at Columbia College studying marketing and communications because I was working for a manufacturing company that had tuition reimbursement. And I said, oh, they have tuition reimbursement. I'll go to school for television production. And I brought the transcripts back to them and they said, what are you going to do with television production here at this manufacturing company? So they wouldn't reimburse me for television production. So I said, oh, that's not going to work. So I actually changed it to marketing and communications so that it could be a field that they would actually support.
But that was always out there.
Like, it was.
Your true calling. It was like, this is what we're doing.
It
Sheila,
is.
Hello.
It is.
Television and film, this is where we're headed. And this
so
is the
true.
Path.
Heather's the path.
Yeah, that was destiny for you.
It was. You know, I mean, I through the years, I think back, and there were little things I got involved with that were probably indicators and preparing me for it, but never thought about it. And so I'm working at that manufacturing company, and my sister and I were both working downtown Chicago, right off of Michigan Avenue, and her company decided that they were going to move to one of the western suburbs. And so at that time, I thought, well, we travel in together every day, so I no longer want to come downtown. So I said, I'm just going to start sending my resume out to television stations, because when you're young and you're not, you know, you don't have fear. So I just said, of course they would hire me. I didn't have the experience, but, you know, I got a great personality. Yes. Maybe they'll hire the personality, mm-hmm. right? And I sent resumes out, went off on vacation, and came back. And that was back in the day where we had the recorders that you had to play
for your voicemail.
Uh-huh. And I played the recording back, and it was a call from Sports Channel Chicago, which I was living in Oak Park. Sports Channel Chicago was based in Oak Park. And so they said, well, we have a programming assistant job, and we'd love to talk to you about it. And at the time, I had started to climb up the ranks on the corporate world, and I had an assistant at the time. And I was thinking, wow, do I want to be an assistant to someone? But I'm so glad that I stopped and took a moment and said, but Sheila, you're trying to change industries. And sometimes when you do that, you have to take two steps back in order to come forward. And so I took it, and I went in there as the programming assistant, and I did that for a year, and I knew I wanted to get into production. So I worked hard and made the right connections. And my second year in there, I got moved over as the production coordinator. And I did that for a year, loved it. And I was just sitting in my little cubicle outside the big corner office where the production manager sat. And fast up approaching my third year there, there was a mishap that the production manager made there at the station. And the programming director said, well, we're going to have to move him out of that position. And I remember that day they were all running back from the programming and the production sides of the building.
I've been in that environment.
Oh, yes. When the doors are closed most of the day and you know something's happening. Absolutely. No one ate lunch. Everyone's
everywhere.
Yes. Everyone's trying to figure out what's happening. And finally, the programming director came and said, hey, come in. And he said, well, we're going to move this person to a different role, and we want to know if you want to be the production manager. And there is no way in heck I should have been the production manager, probably, as far as skills were concerned, that I had already acquired. But I think that he knew that I was going to sink or swim, and he knew I was going to be swimming. And so I said, absolutely, I can be the production manager.
He saw something in you that
yes.
you didn't necessarily see in yourself. I mean, you knew that you could, but then there was a little bit of doubt.
There's doubt, which was what us women do to ourselves all the time. You know, it's like, well, I don't have that experience already. And a man would say, absolutely, I can do that. And I'm like, well, yeah. But I said, sure, the opportunity is there. And I literally moved from the cubicle to the corner office and started my career in television production.
And that's, I feel like that's the true meaning of career.
It is.
Career doesn't mean that you pick a job and you become complacent doing one thing.
Absolutely.
I recall,
Marcia.
you know, our elders, they gave us great advice back in the day. My granddad, I recall I was working in the school system. I went to school for radio, television, and film.
Okay.
And this is where I'm
yes,
at, right?
Look at you.
So I've always been a radio girl. However, I was a teacher's assistant at a school. And so my granddad, he said to me, well, what is it that you want to do?
Sure.
And I told him, work in radio. Now, I was working part-time in radio. I was doing a full-time job as a teacher's assistant, then going part-time as a producer in radio.
Oh, wow.
So, but I was
investing committed.
More time into something that I was not passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something as simple as saying, why don't you do what you desire to do.
Absolutely.
Focus on what you want to do.
Absolutely.
And therefore, I was like, you know what? That makes sense.
It does, doesn't it?
Because I've learned that there's something in us from the day that we're born.
It's there.
It's there.
Yeah.
we have to tap into it, though.
Sure, and we cover it up, right. or people around us sometimes bury it because you have this desire and you say, I want to do this, and they say, that's not going to make you any money.
I think I've learned the hard way to focus on yourself and what it is that you desire, because if you are around friends, they have, everyone's different. They have different skills. So just because I'm in a room with you and somebody else and you're good at doing one thing doesn't mean that that's necessarily for me.
Correct.
So sometimes I think that we hinder ourselves from really tapping into what it is that we were put here to do. Mm-hmm. And some people's journeys are longer than others, but the whole point is to get there.
Absolutely.
And I'm glad that you're sharing your story, you didn't just fall into this position.
Absolutely not.
You worked your way here.
Yeah.
And it wasn't easy.
It was not easy.
That's life.
It was not easy. And, you know, I was at the television station. I stayed there for 6 years. And then I bumped heads with the general manager that was there and thought, you know what? I can do this on my own. And now you want to talk about shocking the heck out of your family. Here I am at the time. We're in the midst of the Bulls winning their 6 championships. I'm getting them tickets to games. I'm traveling around the country with the world champions and so forth. And then I go to them and say, you know what? I think I'm going to start my own company. My mom's like, what does that mean? Because no one in my family had ever been an entrepreneur. They had not owned my business. You know, how our parents used to tell us back in the day, you get you one of those good jobs and you work that job until you retire and you draw your pension. Yes, they did. But they still intended for you to land a good, solid job that you can go through from 9 to 5 each day. And so it was a struggle initially, but I'm glad that I was the stronger person where I say they don't understand it, but what's for me is for me. They may not understand it, but they don't have to understand it.
It's not for them to understand.
It's my life. And they just have to, you know, as long as I'm not coming to you and asking you to pay my bills or to let me live with you or anything, then you just have to kind of go wing it and go with me and respect that decision. And so I left there and I started Freedom Entertainment. And I had that for 20 years where I worked in television production, music, politics, kind of doing some of everything.
I'm sure you have a whole lot of stories.
Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do. You know, being a woman in sports. And going into locker rooms, you know, I worked in the NBA and NHL, Major League Baseball, and professional sporting events, and very, very interesting times, let's just say, but I enjoyed every moment of it. But I did that, you know, for 20 years, and then a mutual friend introduced me to Alex Picios, the president of CineSpace, and we immediately hit it off and became fast friends and just stayed in touch with each other. And, you know, the two of them would call me and say, what crazy projects are you working on? And so forth. And then in 2015, I actually worked on a big project here on campus, on the campus of CineSpace, where we did a huge event that featured Katy Perry and so forth. And we did it, and Alex and I reconnected at that time. And when I was thinking that I wanted to slow down and I wanted to my next chapter to be something meaningful, I thought, wow, why not just stay based here in Chicago? Because I was traveling pretty extensively. Yeah. Stay based here in Chicago.
So it was always in your heart to stay here in Chicago.
Absolutely. I wanted to stay at home, and I wanted to decide what that next chapter would look like, but I wanted it to have a meaning and purpose. You know, we all say that. People say, what's your passion? What would you want your legacy to be? How would you want to leave things? But I always knew for years and years, you know, that I wanted to try and do some work that would make a difference, not only for myself, but for others.
You know, it seems like life always brings us to this point where now we have to do for others.
Yes, yes.
This is a gift of reciprocating.
It is. It is. We're given so much. And what is the saying, you know, to those that much is given, much is expected. And so when I really started to think about it, I thought, wow, if I could do something over at the studio, it's on the west side of Chicago where I grew up. It's in an industry that I've been working in over 20 years.
So was this your idea first? And then you went to Alex about it? Or was it the fact that he already had the idea?
No.
and you came together.
No, actually what happened specifically is that because Alex knew my background in television production, events and so forth, he knew who I was. And so a friend, Alex and I have a mutual friend, the one that originally introduced us. And he called me out of the blue one day and said, "What crazy project are you working on?" And I said, "You know, I'm working on projects, but I'm feeling like I need to make a move. You know, I need to do something different." And he said, "You need to call Alex, because every time I see him, he asks about you, and I just feel you two are the same spirit. You know, I think you two could do some great things together." But he said, "You know, Alex always says I'm just a real estate agent, you know, because that's really what a studio is managing property, right?" And he said, "You have a managing broker's license in real estate," which I do. He said, "So you two are the same people, I promise you." And I remember to this day his final words before we hung up is, "You're really going to be upset with yourself if you don't reach out to him and then you find out that they're doing something that you know you could have done and would have been passionate about. You're only going to have yourself to blame." And I thought, wow, he's absolutely right. So the next morning, I shot an email over to Alex that said, "Listen, we've known each other now for about 4 years. I'm not going to bore you with my resume. Here are the areas where we intersect: television production, events, real estate, community, you know, services and so forth. So if you ever find yourself in need in one of those areas, holla at the sister, you know, reach back out to me." And he literally, 10 minutes later, responded and said, "Hey, come down to the studio this week. Let's talk." That must have been like a Tuesday. And so 2 days later, Thursday, I was sitting in his office. And as I'm driving to the studio, I'm thinking, wow, he could be talking to me about, you know, these NBC shows or these Fox shows or doing events for the studio and so forth. And I had in my heart, the only thing I don't want him to talk to me about is the foundation, because then you have to raise money and you have to do all these things. And that wasn't really, I'm an operations girl. So, you know, I haven't been in that particular role. And I came in and met with Alex, and the first thing he said once we got situated was, "Let me talk to you about Cinecares." And I thought, ugh.
So the name was already...
Yes, because see, what happened is the family started CineSpace. It opened back in 2011. And the founder of CineSpace opened CineSpace in Toronto 30 years ago. And he started this output in Chicago that started in 2011, he and Alex together. And in 2014, he passed away prematurely of cancer. And so when he passed away, the family thought, let's do a foundation in his honor that would really do some of the things that Uncle Nick would want to do. And they started Cinecares in 2014. But what they did at that time was give themselves a mission of helping the community. And that's such a broad stroke, because if you think about it, almost anything could help the community. And so for years, they sponsored Little League baseball teams. They fed seniors. They did holiday giveaways, back to school giveaways, and things of that nature. And I remember saying to Alex when he started talking to me about the foundation is, what is the foundation? Who are you? Who do you want to be? What's the most important thing you want to accomplish? And he said, "I want to help people." And I felt that coming from his heart. And I said, "Well, my advice to you would not be to go out and pass out book bags and coats, but give people a job and they can buy a book bag and a coat when they need it."
Opportunity,
you know,
for a lifetime.
Absolutely. Yes. You know, it's that whole saying of, you know, you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day,
right,
you teach him the fish, you feed him for a lifetime. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. It was in fact the same thing. And so he was like, yes, that's what we wanted to do. But you got to remember, he was running a studio, so he didn't have the time to really focus on that. And so I thought, oh, this sounds interesting. And then when he started to talk to me about Uncle Nick and knowing who this person was and what they were about, and he was always about reaching out and bringing people in and being inclusive and wanting everybody to benefit and everybody to grow and looking at those that were marginalized and saying, why? let's help them, you know, and so forth. And once he started talking to me about Uncle Nick, I sat there and said, I know I didn't want him to talk to me about this, but wouldn't that be a job of a lifetime, is to try and create some things that this person would be proud of because he's not here to do it himself. And so we started talking, and everything that I suggested to Alex, he's like, that sounds great. That sounds great, because they were things in his heart as well, which is, let's try and create a way to give people jobs and so forth. So we came about that Mercopolis internship program and started that and went from there. But it went quickly from me walking in the door with the eye roll when he said, you know, Cinecares, the silent eye roll. I didn't do it in front of him, but the silent eye roll. And then to being excited when I walked out and saying, wait, here's a man we can do it in honor of. Here's a person in front of me who is just as passionate about it as I am. So I know this isn't going to be some, you know, big corporation that says we need this. And they don't really mean it. They just know that it's the right thing
to
do.
But then they have you who can relate to the people
as
well.
Yes.
You know.
They really did. And, and he saw that. He's like, this is a person that can go out with her passion and use that, ability that she has to connect with people. She's from the community. They'll believe her as opposed to me, Mr. Greek, walking in and saying, I want to help. You know, they're wondering what the ulterior motive is. Well, with you, they're going to believe you, and they're going to feel that passion. And so he unleashed me and said, you know, after months, we did talk for some months, and about 4 months later, he called and said, are you going to do this thing? You know, are you in here? And I said, I'm going to do it. And then, you know, I had to consider giving up my own business. Many people desire and dream about starting their own business. Am I going to give up my business to go and do that? But it just seemed like an opportunity I could
resist. This is something that is changing lives, and that's what's important.
Absolutely.
So, of course, CineSpace is, like you said, it's real estate almost.
It is.
You know, he's working with different companies.
Networks and production companies.
So now you're just using your platform.
Yes.
To bring other people on and connecting them with the companies that are on site.
We are, you know, through those years. Mm-hmm. So from 2011 into 2016, when I came in, Alex had built some very good and sound relationships with the networks who were here filming, you know, the NBCs and the Fox and the Wolf Films and the different production companies. And so when I started talking about this, he said, I'll introduce you to these folks and you let them know what your vision is. And I remember one day he called and said, I'm going to put you in touch with Carla Corwin, who is a producer on Chicago Justice, was in that season. He said, Carla's well connected with an NBC and Wolf and so forth, and she'll let you know how they might feel about such a project. And I talked to Carla, and Carla said, this is what I've been wanting to do here for years. But, you know, they come in from LA. They just have to be here doing the work. No one had time to focus on it in that way. And she said, you know, Peter Jankowski is going to be here this week. You should sit down and talk to him. And this was another lesson for me. I thought initially, well, I'm not ready because I haven't formulated the entire plan. But then the calm side of me said, hey, don't pass up an opportunity when it presents itself. Peter Jankowski is the man that I see his name on Law and Order for 20 years in the credits. So I'm like, Jankowski's here. And so I remember running to Alex as a side story and saying, what's this Jankowski guy like? Is he going to be, you know, tough as nails? And he said, oh, no, he's the sweetest guy. You're really going to like him and so forth. And Peter walked in the room and said, is this the Sheila Brown I've been hearing so much about? And I said, all right, let's do this.
You know, sometimes we are under the impression that a lot of the guys who are, you know, the big wigs.
Yeah, or untouchable.
Intimidating, but no, it's usually... Yeah. Complete opposite.
Listen, I tell people all the time, I said, there are very important people around here, and there are people who think they're very important. And it's usually the ones that think they're very important
are
the ones that cause the most, wreak the most havoc, right? The ones that are important don't have to go around screaming, I'm important.
Nope.
You know?
It's just like what kind of car you drive.
Absolutely.
Like you mentioned, Alex is driving,
He's like a Chevy Impala or something like that. I mean, he doesn't drive a Range Rover. He's like, I don't need to prove anything to anybody.
Flashy.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
And so that's how we looked at it, you know? And so we came back and Peter bought in immediately and we said, Carla, can you go to NBC and talk to them about it? Because they didn't have interns on their productions like that. Carla went to them, talked to them about it. Not only did they want in, they said, we'll underwrite the positions, which was, I mean, just a godsend, but music to my ears because what
now
that...
now you don't have to go out
there
to
you
buy.
Go. Now I don't have to go to that fundraising. The money came right on in the door. And they said, we believe in it enough that we're going to underwrite it. So they paid the interns and they gave us the position on the shows and therein started the Mercopolis internship program.
All right, so let's get into... how much they are putting into our interns.
Well, listen, I mean, I'm talking six figures, you know. It's hundreds of thousands for NBC to pay their interns and about half of that for Fox to pay theirs because right now we have one show that we have interns on, Empire, with Fox, whereas we have three shows with NBC. So understandably, they're putting in more, but they're paying these interns. They get paid minimum wage, which right now in Chicago is $14 an hour, but they work a minimum of 60 hours per week. And so they're guaranteed 20 hours of overtime every week. So when you talk about paying them in a 24-week internship, almost $20,000, and they're coming from neighborhoods where the average household income annually for the entire year is less than $23,000 a year, you're changing not only that intern's life, it's transformational for their family as well. So this is a program that we established specifically to invite folks from traditionally underserved communities on the west and south side of Chicago between the ages of 18 to 26 to come in and find job opportunities and job training opportunities, I should say, on our campus. And how we do that, because you can imagine how many people there would be an influx to the studio if we were doing all of this on our own.
Open call.
It'd be like a casting call, but for job training, right? So we didn't want to do open casting calls. So we said, why recreate the wheel? We need to go out and work with community partners who've invested so much in our community for job training and job readiness and teaching hard and soft skills to people and go to them who've already gone through and they know who can take this type of environment.
For how long?
Well, it depends. Okay. So each organization has their own program. So some of them are people who've been in their program for years. You know, some of them simply go through and do a 4-week or an 8-week job training program. Some of them, like the CHA is one of our partners, they're residents that have been there that fall within that age demographic, and they have placed them as their social workers. They've placed them in job training opportunities and so forth, and they know what they're like. So it depends on who the partner is as to what their grounds are that they and their rules that they put in place for earning that recommendation to us.
They're not working in the same industry. The partners, they're just helping them build their work ethics.
They are, because the reality of it is, and especially the positions that we train on, you don't have to, because we're not putting anybody in behind a camera. You would have to go to film school and know how to do that. We're putting people in grip positions, electric, props, locations, places where, yes, they are very skilled as well, but it's a place where if you have a great teacher to show you on set how to do it, they can gradually get you there without having 30 years under your belt when you walk in the door. So you're right, these community partners, very few of them are working in TV and film. You know, they're doing general population, but that also is so important because they're training people for typical jobs where you go work in the office for 40 hours, you go work in retail for 40 hours. So when we go to them and say, it's 60 hours, you're on your feet, you're in the hot sun, you're in the cold rain, you're in the snow, you're on the ice.
Tell me about Keisha over
right
there.
Absolutely.
Well, Keisha, you know, she's late all the time, and you know, so they're giving you the full report.
They're giving me the full report, and this is what we did. We didn't want to be the ones to say, oh, we're the big guys and we're gonna pass these little positions out to you guys. Alex, Carla, and myself hosted a roundtable discussion with community organizations out there, and we said, we're all in this together. we're equal parts in this process. We need you to develop the talent that can be referred in this into this position. We need to continue to work on the shows and gain more positions. And then there's a lane after us, which is the ecosystem of the business. And we need them to become, you know, partners. So you'll know that at the intern wrap party that you came to, we had the Steppenwolf Theater there. We had the School of the Art Institute of Chicago and various other industry folks that were there to say, these people are learning such great skills. They can be applied to theater production. We have grip departments, electric, lighting, and so forth. You know, we do things at the Art Institute that can use these core skills, you know, to work. So yes, those community partners came to the table and they understood the magnitude of these opportunities. And they are not just trying to fill a position. The best thing a community partner says to me, when I open up the time for recruitment and I call them and say, hey, you have anybody? When they say to me, Marsha, no, we don't. I say, I appreciate that. Thank you. It doesn't mean they don't have anybody they're working with. They don't have anyone that they know that they can put in the position right now. Next time, maybe. But not right now. So they have as much vested interest as we do. Because when they come in, they're representing that agency. Then they come in here, they're representing Cinecares. Then they go into the shows, they're representing Fox and NBC. They carry a lot of weight, and not everyone can do that. You're only a couple years too old. You're only a couple years too old. I know 26 is a couple, you know, years. Yeah, you're only a couple years too old. You almost made it, Marsha. So, you know,
that's okay.
But that's what many people say to us when we go out and talk from all walks of life, not just diverse communities. People are like, where was this program when I was wanting to get into television production?
So I did notice that some of the people that worked with the interns were at the wrap party.
Yes.
How was this, initially, in the beginning, how was this chemistry? How was this relationship? Was it difficult for them to work with the interns? Did they feel like...
Well, you know, here's the deal. These shows spend millions of dollars per episode, not per season. Millions of dollars per episode doing these productions. So these are not academic environments. You know, they're not, they don't have free time where they can sit and say, oh, let me teach you this and so forth. They are brought here to do a job. They're on a time crunch, you know, and most things that they're doing. So when we first put interns in, I'm sure many of them thought, how are we going to do this? You know, but they did the same thing that I'm explaining now, which is to say, you know what? This is just another member of the team. They're a PA. How would I work with a production assistant? I would just go to them and say, hey, do this, do that. And so they let them learn organically by having them do the small tasks that they know. And then they level up and level up and level up until they're able to do more, you know, but I'm sure that first year it was kind of tough for everybody because it's like, we didn't ask for this. The network decided they were going to buy into this darn program, you know, but I will say to you, people were so appreciative. And I mean, from week two, they were coming to me saying, wow, these people are amazing. You know, where'd you get them? I'm like, right down the street, you know, and so forth. They just weren't a pool of, you know, people that we were looking at, but there's hidden talent all around us, you know? So they came in, they worked hard. Second cohort of interns, we've had three, they knew what to expect, the departments, and so then I could just get the interns ramped up. But this third time, which we increased our weeks, they were, last season we had two 12-week cohorts. This year we had one 24-week cohort. So now they're like a member of the team.
Yeah.
They worked almost the full season of these shows. And so the people were so hurt when they had to leave, and the interns were hurt when they had to leave, but we only had 24 weeks. But I kept saying, you two could have them here. You just have to add them to your budget, you know. And so some of them have been added.
The internship is over.
Yeah.
Some of them, they get jobs.
Yes, they do.
Or they become...
Over 50% of the people who've gone through our program are working professionals on this campus. And then you add in another 25% of them that are maybe not in shows on our campus, but are working around the industry. We had one intern where when he was working here on Chicago Fire, Spike Lee came to town to shoot a commercial on one of the stages, and he worked on that production. Well, after the internship program, this intern said to me, that is too much work. That is too hard. I finished it. I'm glad I did it. But this is not what how I want to, you know, work every day. And I appreciate that because we're not bringing people in and saying you have to work in this industry. I just want you to have a choice of whether you want to be here or not be here. So he went off and he traveled to like Amsterdam or something and came back and he was going to hang out in New York for a while. So he's walking down the street and he sees a production taking place. Walks over, he looks, he says, who's shooting? They said, what? He said, what is this? And they said, she's got to have it too, which is a Spike Lee production. And so yeah, he's sitting there, said, yes. So he's sitting there. And so he goes, oh, so he starts talking to the gentleman who's there. And he said, well, come and talk to us or whatever. And he goes in, he ends up working and doing some of the work with Spike Lee. He had the icebreaker. He had the conversation that, oh, I worked with you when you were in Chicago. Why? Because he was in the room. He was here on our campus. He had the opportunity to work with them when they were here. So now he is an industry insider. So when he's in New York, he has some experience to talk to them about. And therefore, he wound up doing some work with Spike Lee. So these opportunities, we're not even saying you need to stay on this campus. Right. Again, I just want you to get the skills.
Then you're building a network.
You're building a network.
Yeah.
Yeah. My goal is to simply expose more people to the opportunity. And for those that want to be here, hooray. Let's continue to work and try and find you, you know, opportunities to stay in this business. And those that don't, I still stay in touch with them. And I still root for them in whatever area of work they want to do.
Oh my gosh, we love you, Sheila.
Yes.
So the name of this internship is the Mercopolis.
Mercopolis Internship Program.
And this is the only program that you guys are offering from CineSpace currently. Because I know prior to CineCares, that they were going out into the communities
doing work. We've funneled our efforts into this program because we want to make it as comprehensive as possible. And so, yes, today that is the program that we have. People can find out more information about the program by visiting our website, which is cinecaresfoundation.org, cinecaresfoundation.org. And on the website, it will introduce them to some of the community partners we have there. And it has their websites and so forth. They should go through and take a look and see if any of them are people they want to associate themselves with. Our next round of interns that we'll bring into the program, we'll start recruiting in June, kind of late May, early June, start interviewing some folks to get them lined up. The reality of it is the positions come to us by networks who come back to our campus. So we probably won't know until May which shows will continue on. We're praying they all continue on, Fire, PD, Med, Empire, The Shy, and so forth. And based upon how many shows will come back, that will determine how many opportunities we'll have to present for internships. But I would encourage anyone who's interested in trying the program to go to our website now and start connecting with those organizations so that they will have time to be engaged with them, because those organizations have to be comfortable enough to refer them. You know, so you want to have some familiarity with them. You want to work with them and go through whatever program they tell you that will earn their recommendation to the program, because they can then say, I know that this person knows X, Y, and Z because we taught it to them.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm all about looking at the finish line.
Yes.
This is a great way to prepare for your future. And like you said, this may not be what you want to do.
Yes.
But at least you have the opportunity to experience it and this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
It really is.
Something that a lot of us wish it was around.
Absolutely. You know, I was talking, I think I may have mentioned through one of our conversations that I had one of the interns come to me recently, and she said, Miss Sheila, are you going to wish me a happy 21st birthday? And I looked at her and said, first of all, baby, you're 21. But secondly, she's in her second season of working on Chicago Fire. Who at 21 is in their second season of working on a Dick Wolf NBC production? It is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. It is a one-of-its-kind program. You know, Eamon Walker, who plays Chief Bowden on Chicago Fire, has been my biggest advocate from day one. And he has such great pride in the program. You know, and he always says, Sheila, we're doing it. You know, and you're getting people in, and those people are here, and because they're here, it begets other people coming here. You know, we're seeing it around the campus, that the campus is starting to better reflect the stories that we tell through the stories that go on Empire and all of the NBC shows and so forth. And that is a source of pride for us. It really is.
Who shall we be looking forward to next? I'm enjoying this journey.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we're going to hear from Alex Pisios, the president of the studio, and just his humble beginnings and story. You know, I mean, he is truly my brother from another mother. You know, we love each other because he's just so kind. Shy Petey.